Good morning, church. Welcome to service again this morning. I hope you're doing well. We're in the fifth section of Ephesians, chapter 5, of our series entitled, This Is Us. And the sermon this morning is entitled, Walk in the Way of Love. You might be asking yourself, why Ephesians? Why have we been spending so much time reading over a book that was written some 2,000 years ago to a church in Ephesus? Good question. This book is talking about us as a faith community. We're in the practical side of things, and this is really, really important. I want to really help us to recenter our focus on God. God had a plan from the beginning to create what we call now as the church. And the church has changed so much over the years, over the centuries. But we want to get back to what does God want and what does God plan for us? And we're in such unprecedented times with this pandemic. And I know some of us, myself included, are sick of virtual services. We want to get back. I want to get back, see my brothers and sisters, see my friends in the church. I want to be able to shake a hand, give a hug. I'm tired of watching on the service. And I've heard and I felt it's so easy sometimes to get critical. We can think, well, what about that song? Or what about this song? We show up in our pajamas, we have our breakfast, and we want to get entertained maybe. But really, is that what God wanted? God planned for this church to have an impact to change the world. Do you believe that? That he's going to change the world through us. What that means is we need to push ourselves out of our comfort zone. Take our pajamas off and get out of the house and go encourage people. I know these restrictions are hard. I know it's tough. We can't go to a restaurant. We can't go to a coffee shop. But we can go grab a coffee, take it out, and go for a walk with that friend that you haven't seen for a while and encourage some people. We really need to use this opportunity to stand out and be different from everyone else. That's what the church is all about. And I know it's tough. I know it's pushing us beyond our limits sometimes. But think about it. There's this thing called the telephone. We can pick it up and give that brother or that sister a phone call and say, hey, how are you doing? Really doing? Encourage. Let's do something. Let's be different. Let's walk in love. We're going to look at that in a little bit here. But being different, because God calls us to be different. We have so many blessings in Christ. We can give back to our friends and our family and those around us. So let's jump into it, to walk in the way of love. This chapter 5 is probably one of the most practical chapters in Ephesians. But here's a little recap. Paul teaches us here that in the book of Ephesians, that we, the church, we are the apple of God's eye. And if you remember from last time, the book of Ephesians was broken down into basically two parts. Chapter 1 through 3, or part 1, focuses on every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. And the fact that we have been raised, literally raised from the dead spiritually, that we're spiritual beings. Then we get this switch, chapters 4, 5, and 6. And Paul focuses now on how we should live based on the ideas of what we believe. And remember that image of the airplane with the two wings or with one wing? We can't have a plane with one wing. We need to believe all the right things, believe in the gospel message, believe in God, believe in Jesus. But we need to live differently than the world. We need to put off our old self and put on our new self in Christ. And that happens at baptism. So remember this, our faith and our actions need to equal together. They need to add up, or else it's called hypocrisy. Do you remember that? That's what the gospel message is all about. That's what Paul's teaching. We need to live differently, but we also need to believe in God and Jesus and the fact that we are spiritual beings. So that's just a recap. So now we're going to look at some everyday practicals. But I want to get us a little context as we jump into the book of Ephesians in verse 1. It reads, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love." Okay. This short verse has three components, and we'll break it down here. Number one, we need to follow God's example. That's simple, right? No, well, it's not as simple as that, but what Paul's saying is we're not alone. We have an example set before us already. It's not like we're getting on a pair of skis, we're going down that ski hill, and we see that ticker tape along the side, and it's all powder. There's no trails, there's no runs, it's out of boundaries. We're not going in there. The path has already been marked out for us. Jesus lived and died so that we could know the example that we need to follow. Follow God's example. Component number two is as dearly loved children. And this is so encouraging. Dearly loved children, we need to remember how special we are. We are the apple of God's eye. Remember, we are his piece of artwork. And he signed us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And how do parents care for their children? How do parents really care for their children? I know, put aside the horror stories and the exceptions, but 99.9999% of all parents would do absolutely anything for their children. They would lay down their lives and sacrifice everything so their children could succeed, right? That's how God sees us. So, because the fact that Jesus and God set the example for us to follow, and because we're dearly loved children of God, third component is we need to walk in love. Walk in love. Okay, so that's kind of a term that's out there, but what does that mean, walk in love? I can walk in a garden. I can walk on a path. I can walk by the lake, which I love to do around my house. I can't walk in the love. So what's Paul talking about here? It's a metaphor. Walk in love is a metaphor for a purposeful and consistent practice or habit. It's something we have to do, but we need to work on it on a daily basis. I think of when my children started to walk. Adam was a little bit different because he went from crawling to running. But walking in love, think about a little child. When they start to walk, they put their hands out, they're really unsteady. They walk along tables, they hold on to things, and eventually they let go and they start walking on their own. And if you distract your child while they're walking on their own at the very beginning, what happens? They fall to their butts. But guess what? They get back up and they keep going. So we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall on our butts. We're going to make mistakes, but we need to get up and get moving. Right now, I know it's hard. I know it's really hard, especially with this COVID stuff. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that book's written to Christians. They didn't have, at the first century, they didn't have COVID. Yeah, but they didn't have cars. They didn't have telephones. They had other diseases. They had poverty. They had challenges. They had difficulties. The church in Ephesus was not the perfect church. Hear me on this. They were just like you and I. And that's the whole context of this book, is we're going to be full of mistakes. We're going to fall on our butts. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip up and fall. But we need to put off the old, put on the new, and start moving again. So walk in love. And I got this story off the internet. I thought it was very, very encouraging. So here's a story about a little boy. He was very poor and he needed shoes. He was standing in front of a shoe store, barefoot and shivering with cold. A woman approached him and asked him why he was standing there looking through the window. He told her, "Well, ma'am, I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes." The woman took the boy into the store, washed his dirty bare feet. She put on new socks, new shoes, and the boy was so touched that he asked her, "Ma'am, are you God's wife?" So he assumed that if she showed him that kind of love, she surely must be related to God. What an encouraging story. It's a metaphor. Walking in love is a metaphor of how we should live, how we should be on a daily basis. And the question we got to ask ourselves is, am I showing God? Am I showing Jesus in my life? When my coworkers, my family, my friends, those I go to school with, when they see me, what do they see? Do they see someone who's living differently? Who's acting differently? Who's showing love? Who's showing compassion? Who's making a difference in this world? Or do they see that I'm just like everyone else? That's what walking in love is really all about. I heard a story this week that blew me away. A friend of mine, he went out on the street one day and he came across a guy who was in a wooden cart and he was pushing himself around with sticks. He had no legs. And so he started talking to this guy. And the guy explained to him that he was a street person, didn't have a place to live. And he fell asleep in the cold. His legs froze and he had them amputated. He had no more legs. Can you imagine that? So what my friend did is he went home. He started looking on Kijiji and he found a wheelchair, a used wheelchair on Kijiji, bought it, went back out, found that same guy, and gave him a wheelchair. That's walking in love. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking everyone that you need to go and find a homeless guy and buy him a wheelchair. But live differently. If you see someone who's down and out, buy him a sandwich maybe. Live differently. I always think just do something. Encourage your coworkers. Encourage your classmates. Encourage your friends. Be encouraging to your spouse and your children. Live differently. That's what walking in love is all about. So now we get into the do's and don'ts about being led and loved by God. And I'm asking you, please, church, put aside all your preconceived ideas. Put aside all those thoughts that you have about the Bible, the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament maybe. And remember that because God is leading us and loving us first, remember, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything. He's made us alive spiritually, raised us from the dead spiritually. We don't deserve it. And we often hear voices telling us, well, God, the God of the Old Testament, he's different. He's uncompassionate. He doesn't really care for people. He was harsh. And that's tough. Because we have to put those voices behind us and look, okay, so God leads us, God loves us, he cares for us, we're called to walk in love. Wow, that doesn't match up with some of what these voices are saying. So if we're being led and loved by God, let's look at what the next verse says. In chapter 5, verse 3 to 7. It says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So here's where we see some challenging passages. Paul's calling us as Christians to live differently. Imagine if you had a call from Harry and Meghan's team saying, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Their team calls you up one day and they said, okay, we're in town. Prince Harry and Princess Meghan Markle, they're in town for a little bit and they need a rest. They're really tired. Can they come over to your house? Imagine that. Can they come over to your house and take some time off? Don't you think that maybe you would take a little bit of time to tidy up around your house? Put some good clothes on, take off those pajamas, those Zoom pajamas, put some good clothes on and tidy up around the house. Well, isn't it the same with God? We have an opportunity to spend intimate time in a relationship with God, the Lord of the universe. Don't we want to put on our best? Not just appearances, but be our best? Paul says no sexual immorality, not even a hint of impurity. Wow, no greed, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. And to top it all off, people who live like this can't even inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't that sound, those verbs, doesn't that sound like a binge night on Netflix? For a letter that was written 2,000 years ago, it seems pretty relevant to our society today. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. Wow. So here we're faced with a choice. If we want to walk in the way of love, we need to live differently. We need to be different. It's now, if you're living the former way, if you're living, remember we looked at this, putting off the old and putting on the new. If we're still living in the old, then we're not in Christ. We're not receiving all those spiritual blessings. So when someone says, going back to my previous point, when someone says, well, the God of the Old Testament is harsh. Well, hold on a second. Maybe it's easier if we're living like this, impurity, greed, coarse joking, foolishness, immorality. Maybe it's easier to say, well, look at God, instead of looking at ourselves. We need to take some time and look at ourselves, put off that and put on the new. Then we can start to see things clearly. Passages in the Old Testament make sense if we look at the context of who God is, really. Rather than taking a look at ourselves, it's so easy to point to God. We can continue down the wrong path if it's God's fault. But it feels good, right? People will say that. It feels good to live like that. Therefore, it must be good. Well, if you go down that road, I guarantee you, I've been there. When you go down that road, you live like that, you make those choices, you always feel sick to your stomach afterwards, don't we? But now we know that there's consequences to living like that. There's consequences to choosing the wrong path. There's consequences spiritually. In essence, our salvation is on the line. And we're certainly not walking in love. Don't fool ourselves. So Paul gets down to the nitty-gritty on how we need to live. We put off our old self, we put on Christ, and Paul calls us to be imitators of God. And now we look at some practical ways. The first is marriage in verse 22 to 27. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Paul here in this passage is using the imagery of marriage to describe how God views the church. And you remember from our earlier studies of previous chapters, the church is the manifold wisdom of God. We're called in the church to be a fellowship of believers, people who are selfless and humbly give up their lives for each other. And we're being reconciled to God through the church. So it's so easy to read this passage and say, hey, look, women need to submit to their husbands. I really don't want to have a theological debate on one passage. I'd like to look at the passage today from the other side of the context. Remember the context here. We're being led by God, loved by God, and we need to walk in the way of love. God leads us. He loves us. Walk in love. So let's look at the other side of the passage from the point of the man's position as opposed to the woman's. Husbands, Love your wives like Christ loved the church. What did Christ do for the church? How did Christ show his love for the church? He laid down his life on a cross to set the church free. That's what Christ did for the church. He sacrificed everything for the church. So do we love our wives, men, and lay it all on the line for their benefit? Do we sacrifice everything? Or do we expect our wives to do the dishes, do the laundry, look after the kids, clean the house, manage a budget, meet our sexual needs, submit to us? How would Christianity look to you if you were treated in this way? I don't think it would be so exciting to sing, "Sign me up," if that were the mantra to that Christianity. Just a thought. I want us to think about that as we read that passage. But let's finish up the chapter here in verses 28 to 33. It says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and cared for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother to be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Here again, Paul is using a relational imagery to show how we need to treat each other ultimately, yes, but he's pointing back to Jesus and the church. The church, there's so many different dynamics. There are different relationships, but ultimately, the example has been set for us to follow. We need to follow Jesus and walk in love. Love and respect, that's what we're talking about here. If there's no respect, there is no respect without love. We need to walk in love, and we'll all work together as the church. It's working together. Paul is using relationships to show how important imagery of the church, imagery of the marriage, imagery of relationships, all bringing it back to the church. Walk in love. When there's love, there's respect. And when there's respect, there's love. This is what it's all about, you guys. This is us. So as we focus today on Christ's love, the example that was set for us, the fact that we've been loved as dearly loved children, we're the apple of God's eye, let us remember Christ's example. Let us remember the sacrifice that he made for us as we take communion today. We're going to take communion, reflect on Jesus as the Bible calls us to, and know that we've been set free, and set free from our sins and added to God's church, which is the body of Christ. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you do, for taking care of us the way that you do, for guiding us and leading us and giving us the example through your son Jesus, and loving us as dearly loved children, that we are truly the apple of your eye, God. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for giving us freedom from our sin, from raising us from the dead spiritually, and giving us every spiritual blessing in Christ. We thank you so much for this today. We remember Jesus with all of our hearts as we worship you with all of our soul. And we pray this in his name. Amen.